All right, we are calling the Peru Select Board meeting of April Fool's Day, 1st, 2026, to order. First order of business, review and approve minutes from March 18. Did y'all get a chance to look?
They look good to me.
Okay, you want to make a motion to?
Motion to approve it.
I'll second it.
Righty. Do the ayes have it?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous, great. Anybody wish to change the agenda? There's already a lot here, so. But just scanning over it. You know what, I'll move, even though I made the agenda. I don't think we maybe have the money information at this meeting to be able to do old business point three, actually to quantify a proposal for hiring. And I don't want to do that with incomplete information, but you know, I didn't have a chance to meet with Cheryl and get sort of current status, and so I think I'll move that we push that out 2 weeks.
Which one is that? Three,
just trying to figure out, yeah, the road crew substitute.
Yeah, we're not in a big push.
Yeah.
For this, I mean, me and Brian have been talking in the summertime. I don't know, there isn't.
Yeah.
Well, not much to do.
Okay. Well, I think it's a great topic, but let's. I would move that we kick that to April 15.
Okay. Kick it to the curb for now.
Okay.
Second it.
All right. Can we vote?
Yeah.
Is that okay? All right. Cool. Moved. Thank you. All right. So, any other changes? I think otherwise we're good. If I'm in a hurry, it's just because I feel like there's a lot of weighty stuff here. But. All right, public comment. You're here for road crew.
It's not snowing.
No, it's not. That's good.
May it not snow anymore.
The assistant clerk's here for her agenda item, so I think hearing none, we'll move on to one of the tasty dishes on the menu tonight, the road foreman, South Road update, quote, etc. And the four pages of proposals from Fuller that Wayne secured for us are here in the packet. Lead us off. Like, how do you read what's there?
We have a proposal for grinding South Road from Route 11 to the Horses for Hire, and then another proposal from Horses for Hire to the end of our blacktop.
Okay, so that's the meaning of. Upper and lower.
Yes.
Okay.
Lower.
The horse.
Upper one is Route 11, lower one, POTUS is down.
Okay.
And we got proposals for repaving them in the sections too.
But it looks like the upper and lower section are also included in this.
In the final.
Process. In the final quotes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a measly $380,000. So you should be able to do that, right?
Sure.
But that's subject to change because of the price of blacktop, depending on fuel prices and all of that.
So technically, if you do the whole thing, you're at $600,000.
No, I think it's three. Or is that just the paving?
That's just the, no. These two, you have to do the upper and the lower. So if you take the 285 plus the 380.
Yes, you combine that. To that. Yeah. Yeah. 285 for the upper and 380 for the lower.
Right.
660.
But what I would probably concentrate on,
that's,
and I talked to him about
Devil's paving job,
leaving the blacktop,
uh-huh,
and just graveling over top of it. And they did it in Danby, where he's from.
Yep.
They put anywhere between 10 and 12 inches of gravel over it, and it held up fine. They graded. You had to have gravel every now and then, like you would on a normal road, but they didn't have a real bad. They didn't have mud. Because they had that buffer in between.
Oh.
So
you may know that was one of your concerns, was going back to the muddy road that we used to have.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's saying
you could gravel over top of it. They've done it before in his town where he lives.
Over the blacktop.
Over top of the blacktop.
That currently exists, the blacktop.
Right. And you're not getting a mud season now, so
right.
You put a good quality road builder material on there, and it would never mud up because you don't have any of that black dirt, right, all crap mixed into it.
Do you?
Does it actually fix the road? Like, it does it? I guess it.
You never know because it's going to get graded.
Right.
When you get a bump or a pothole,
you're just going to grade.
You're going to grade the road. You know, at some point when it gets bad.
So is that what?
That's, he didn't put anything in for gravel or doing any of that.
Okay.
That's, it's wicked expensive. I mean, you tally it up. And we're going to be paying somewhere around $33-$34 a yard for gravel. I got 100 yards from Chase for mud season that we've used up, and I haven't seen what the price is on it yet. But you tally up. He did a figure, and I don't know the formula for the width of the road and the length, and put it out for gravel, we'd be looking at probably $150,000 to gravel that road at the price of gravel now.
The whole thing from?
Just from Debbie Hodes' horses down to the Windhall line. So that's an option.
That's another option.
And there's nothing saying you have to put 12 inches on it this year. You can skim it, put enough on it, so you can grade next year, do some more, you know, down the road. Like he said, add to it. Or just grind it up. You're going to have a way better base because you're mixing 4 inches of blacktop ground up with gravel that's going to give you a way better base on the road.
But so
$28,000.
So the sort of ballpark 150 for gravel on the lower section, that would replace the 380K.
Right, you would be just putting gravel. Well, you still would have to grind it.
Oh, you would. Okay. So
not if we're going to just put gravel.
Gravel.
Yeah. No, if we're just going to put gravel.
Right. So you'd save this $28,336, and then you wouldn't be spending this $380.
Right. You'd just be spending the gravel money.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
So he said you're in a win both either way you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
You just grind it and grade it out that way, or if you go over top of it, just spend the gravel.
Is the thinking though that if we went over top of it, you'd only do it on that section, or
yes,
you do the whole?
We wouldn't do.
You wouldn't do it from the. Yeah, that would be.
There's no way. Route 11 down to Debbie's. Yeah. If you didn't re-blacktop that, the dust and.
Yeah, it would be horrible.
You got so many houses.
Right.
Can't see that one being left. I think we're gonna have to leave if we grind it up, which he highly recommends.
Okay.
Grind at least that section. Don't pave it because he said you're wasting your money until you do grind it up. I think that's going to be a two-year deal anyways. Grind it this year, pave it half of it next year, and maybe half the following year.
Like half.
I don't
of,
think we have the money, right?
Half of upper and then second half of upper, you're
yes.
saying? Yeah.
Do
yeah.
the upper in two sections.
Yeah. No, I mean, we...
I don't know if you went over, got any money figures
no.
from anybody.
No. No. I mean, we're not, but I know we're not anywhere near
I
that.
I know we're not.
So even in year one, it will be remain as...
It would have to, the first, I mean, right, we'd have to put the chloride to it, keep the dust down. And,
yeah.
Yep. Unless you come up with enough money.
Well, I'm meeting on the 9th with Patrick Wilson.
With
like,
Patrick,
that's the big source of paving money. That's what paid for downtown.
But everybody I talked to, I wouldn't get too hepped up on paving money because you got it last year, so.
Yeah. But I think if we get a sense of.
Two in one.
Yeah, how far out are we? You know, like
everybody said 6 to 8 years before you get a second one, but
is that right?
You never know.
Okay.
I mean, that's just what I'm hearing.
Okay. Well, they're. He just sent out an email about them having staff cuts, so that's part of
State?
The picture. The yeah, V-Trans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So if yeah.
So I would think if we do anything, we'd want to grind up, grind from Route 11 down to Debbie Hodes's that part.
Yeah.
For this year, and if we had the extra to grind the whole thing one shot while he's here, go all the way to the end, if we were.
Yeah.
If everybody's on the same page to do that, if not, we could skim it with gravel, get through, and leave that as a base, and you just.
But the gravel the grinding would. Not that we think that's the end of the job, but it's low cost. I mean, we're
right,
talking a six-figure job.
$28,000 versus...
Yeah. Or...
In the maintenance, I mean, you're going to...
The whole thing is 50.
You're still going to have to put some gravel in spots here and there every year. You always do.
Yeah.
You know, you get some spots here. And if it does come back and it's a bad mud season or something, you gotta dump material.
Yeah.
You wouldn't spend $380,000, that's for sure.
So is one of the options to spend this 50 and grind in all of them?
That would do right from 11 to our line. Grind it.
And then he
could do that starting pretty much any time he said that's something.
And then you think you might have to put some more material on it after he's done or no?
He said more than likely not. Once he grinds it, it mixes in with our dirt, you grade the road out. With the blacktop mixed in, it should harden up well. Okay. We'd have to chloride it anyways to keep the dust.
So we'd go back to a dirt road
for a
year, and then the idea would be to pave.
Start budgeting.
To pave the upper side.
Upper side, right. Okay. Of course, next year,
we could put gravel down.
On
the upper section.
Just gravel over top of that. I don't think you'd want to keep that dirt in any way. Okay. I mean, you get so many houses, dust.
So if we do this right here, we're locked into paving it next year.
Yes, if you grind it. Well, I mean, I would think you'd want to repave it. I mean, that's your guys' deal, not mine.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys make the decision, but I would probably want to talk with some of the owners of the
house. Yeah, I think that's what we decided last time. Just,
well, I can share.
If they want to see it back to dirt, then go for it.
But. Yeah, I heard from Todd Williams, who said, I ask, after some niceties and, you know, stuff about the agenda, I ask that the select board please take their time in the decision as to what to do with South Road. A lot of time, funding, et cetera, went into the paving project from Pekarsky's to the Windhall line. I am personally hopeful that there can be repaving done to the whole road and then salt applied conservatively in the future. At least after a fix, the town could be certain that removing the pavement is the best option. Obviously, I appreciate and respect any decision made. Thank you.
So he's doesn't like dirt.
No, sounds that way. The thing is, if you don't do something to that section to make it hold up, you're throwing...
Right. Good money after bad.
Yeah.
You're putting a Band-Aid over it. And right. I mean, it would go probably another 10 years and then another...
Yeah.
Eventually, it's got to be ground up, at least ground back up, because we got cracks on that as bad as on the other section.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first corner you come to, the yellow house on the right as you're going down, that corner's starting to slough off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other spots, but...
Is there enough money to grind up the upper part and pave it in one summer?
Mm-mm. I don't believe there's any. Mm-mm. I think we're going to be pretty much, if we continue to do from Mossbrook to the campground and pave that, I think that's going to take most of our money right there, isn't it? Well, you haven't looked yet, so we got
to... Yeah, I mean, that's what we committed to doing
last year.
We had enough
to do that.
Yeah.
And then I think they added $25,000.
Yeah. I'll get, repaving. I don't have the, I mean, again,
that's
Cheryl.
That's what I was kind of saying, the repaving fund probably should be up considerably for keeping up with maintenance because of the price. Back when we had South Road paved, I think it was like $60 a ton.
Right.
And we're up to anywhere between 93 and 100. This year. So you're, and we didn't raise the budget for it, I don't believe. Unless Chuck did. Didn't say nothing.
Well, I think one thing to shop around and to add to the neighborhood conversation is the price tag we're talking about, right? Like, it's easy to prefer paving, but it seems like that means preferring
a good part would be we're not going to salt it.
Yeah.
So I think your longevity is a lot better on the pavement.
Yeah.
We're not, even if it cracked a little bit, we're not dumping salt down in the crack.
Yeah.
So you probably could get a lot longer out of the pavement. It might.
Yeah.
It's.
Can you talk about whatever you said that third option was to just put gravel over top of the pavement that's there.
Yeah.
Through the whole section.
Yeah. No, just
from HOTIS.
The lower half.
The horses for hire down.
You wouldn't do that on the upper half.
No. I just couldn't see you putting dirt there. And like Todd said, I think you're going to find most of the homeowners, they're not going to want to deal with dust.
So I thought last time we talked about potentially not paving that road, but there really is no option to not pave it?
Yeah, there. I mean, that's an option to pave, not to pave from the Horses for Hire to the end of our line, because there's no houses down through there. I mean, there's one house, two.
Right.
And then the other one's so far off the edge of the road, there's too close to the road.
Mm-hmm.
Two houses compared to 15 is...
But you're thinking that going straight to dirt, like right off of, like right after the Route 11 apron,
if we're going to regrind it, do our culverts, upgrade everything and have it paved, I mean, you could pave it again the way it is. And he said within 4 or 5 years, you're going to have cracks back again.
Yeah.
Where if you grind it up, you're probably going to get 10 to 15 years out of it at least before it starts doing anything, really moving much at all. Because that, it's never been ground since it's been paved originally, that I know of. And I've dug, did a couple culverts on the road, and you got...
But you're actually going to save you're going to save yourself money, because it's $21,000 to grind it up to get 10 years out of it versus not doing that to get 4 years. And the paving itself is $264,000. So you'd be crazy.
And then when you paint it after 4 or 5 years again, you're spending probably $300,000.
So it would be, exactly. So you would be crazy not to spend the $21,200 to grind it before you paved it.
And it kind of makes sense with all the culverts that we need to do to grind it, because if we didn't and we leave the pavement, we're going to have a speed bump every culvert that we do.
Right.
You dig it up, and then you put blacktop in, you get the big bump, and and we already have two spots like that now from replacing. So, yeah. So I would think maybe we should get with Cheryl and find out what there is for funds and go from there on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we allocate $18,000 for contract services that could go towards it, because that would be a contract service.
What was that supposed to be used for? Or just
anything,
just
like
anything
if a culvert came up to be an emergency, you could hire them to do it. Crack seal, anybody that wanted to do something or needed to be done.
So your recommendation is to basically do this on the upper section, reclaim, grade, compact, and then pave it. But on the lower section, we have the option of not doing that at all and spending about $150,000 to gravel it.
If we wanted to gravel over top. But I think my recommendation on that would be just grind it up and
leave it. And then decide.
Add gravel as we need it. I mean, you're gonna save. It's gonna be a dirt road anyway.
So you don't think we need the gravel over top. So you're
just grind it.
Spend the $28,000.
$28,000. Put it back to dirt, but I mean, look, your townspeople have a lot to say in it. They're the ones who travel it. And they did spend, I think it was somewhere around $230,000 to pave it back 13, 14 years ago. So there you go, 13 years ago, and this is the shape it's in. Is it that bad for 13 years compared to a lot of different towns? And if you paved it one more time and didn't salt it, you might
get more than 13
years. Right, it could, because we salted the first 6-7 years or more.
So. Yeah. I think if we were heading toward repaving half or all, that I would say we spring for the grinding.
On both sections.
Just because I think it was so bad this winter that trying to pretend that we can build money or build a fund.
So you're saying grind everything up, put in the proposal that we're going to repave it at some point, and then get the money and then pave a section.
It's a big if. I think...
Or we may gravel it, but...
We might gravel the lower half, but I think getting rid of what is so bad right now.
Back into a drivable shape.
Yeah. Because you balance like 150... If we decided to gravel the lower half rather than pave it to save $230,000, we're not wasting a ton of money to get rid of
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like it's.
And the good news is it kind of fixes the problem. So it gives you options.
Yeah. Well, and it's way more treatable or gradable.
We get a, it gets rough, something out of shape, you fix it with the grader.
Correct.
It's not like you got to call a paving guy. You know, you got to come paint.
Yeah.
You can fix that part in house.
What do y'all think? Should we circulate the money a little bit? I mean, like, talk.
Better find out what we have and
talk about what we have, and then, but also, you know, let's talk to some neighbors now that we've got some bids in place. And I think the gravel bid that you know, kind of informally, that isn't written up is another thing to add.
Yeah, if so I get a gravel price, I can look the formula up, you know, length times width.
Yeah. No, I just mean like as we talk to neighbors, like I think paints. That's a
good... He gave me a figure of how many yards and I don't remember. It seems like it was 1,600 yards to go down through there. So
but we need to see if we wanted to fix the problem, what we're looking at is paving the upper section, grinding and paving the upper section. And then just grinding the lower section.
I think that's the way we were going to start.
So that's $315,000, and that gets us to where the upper section is done. Mm-hmm. The lower section is passable and repairable and works.
Yep. Yeah.
But we don't know if we have. We don't know what money.
Well, I know we don't have that much. But,
and we can't pave and grind the upper section in 1 year. So it's going to be dirt. It's going to be the whole thing's going to be ground. It's going to be dirt for a year.
Yeah.
Then it's going to, the upper section would get paved, and then potentially.
But grinding the upper section then locks us into paving it in the future as soon as possible.
It doesn't lock you into it, but you probably would want to be budgeting for it. So I think you'll get a lot of complaints if you don't pave it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're going to grind the lower section, and we're not going to pave that either.
Is the lower section going to look like Lover's Lane, or?
Yep.
And what's the negative of the upper section looking like Lover's Lane?
Household people,
lots of people living up there, and it's going to be all dirt and dusty and coming off of Route 11. Was it dirt before they paved it?
No.
It wasn't. It was always paved.
That was always paved. I don't know when it got paved the first time, but from digging, it's been paved at least four times.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
I think there was four layers on there that when I dug up for the culverts. So that would put you at 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, I stumbled across some town history and the town plan on development of roads and infrastructure. And we got a lot to do. I don't want to start reading you big chunks of it, but it felt like Peru was, took its time shifting from dirt roads to paved roads. And
if I remember, it took them a lot of years to go with salt, didn't it? I mean, you would know the history more than that. I wasn't up here, but they never used to salt until close to the 2000s, I think, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I don't know. It just made me think of the pavement not really being essential. And I don't mean to, I'm not suggesting, I'm not voting against it, but it's just, it's not an absolute.
Paving's not an absolute.
It's not an absolute. No. And I think if the town wants to psych itself up to spend this kind of money, then this is one place to spend it. But it sure seems like a hefty tab.
Have we ever done a traffic study on South Road?
There was one done, I think, before we paved that. Pretty sure they come and did some kind of a traffic study. It might have been more for speed.
Right.
You know, the other thing.
And it would give you how many cars went on it and all of that. Right. So I think it's a pretty popular road. A lot of people travel it. Though they use it as a cutoff, obviously.
Right.
We might, looking at.
Is that where POTUS is roughly, where it crosses that stream?
Yes, just down below the stream, a whisker.
So this is relatively accurate, that was paved and then it changes.
That's very accurate, yes.
Yeah.
And that was showing 2013 it was like that.
I started in 13 and then I think it got paved the next year.
Okay.
So it was 14.
Back in back in 2005, it wasn't. The 2005 map only shows the paving to like before you.
Yeah, it was paved before that. Probably never got put on as pavement afterwards.
You think it was paved in 2005?
Oh, I know it was paved in 2005, definitely. It was paved 2014 or 15 at the latest.
I sort of want to move on because we have lots to do. But one thought is that, you know, with this local option tax vote coming up on May 2nd, if that passes, then over the next 12 months, we will have a sense of how much money we can raise just through that, which might change our budgeting perspective. You know, like if we're making $100,000 to $150,000 in tax revenue every year,
we get the whole amount of the money, or does the state take a portion of that?
They get a portion.
They get a quarter of the 1%. Yeah.
I thought there was.
You sure? I thought you said it was a half.
No, they get a quarter. They charge a little fee on top of that, but basically we get three quarters. The fee is actually pretty small at this point. So
it's still worth doing.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody makes out, then the state makes out, we make out.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually don't keep their portion. They spend it in some interesting ways that subsidize. They essentially create tax revenue for towns that have state property in them that are not taxed. So it's called the pilot program. So they don't, it's not really a revenue. It's redistributed sort of Robin Hood style to towns.
But we can use it for
wherever we want.
Wherever we want to put it into.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Shall we move on to old business?
Yeah.
Wayne, you feel like we're at a reasonable stopping point with a...
Yeah, no, okay. I think so. I agree with it.
Cool. Is there a way you can turn that dinger down just a little bit? Thanks. So this document is taken from Vermont League of Cities and Towns. This is turning to the select board procedures in old business. And I pulled the Londonderry copy and updated it and realized that at the first section of meetings, I did not change that paragraph from the Londonderry location and day to the Peru location and day. And you can see I've updated like locations of where we post and all that kind of thing. This is a little longer than the one that we signed last year, but it's also got some detail in it that the Vermont statutes recommend. But because it's got a glaring typo in it, I think I would ask that we just...
This has another typo.
Did you find another one?
Yep.
Okay.
Under meetings.
That's...
It says Londonderry Town Office, Twitchell Building.
That's the one I was just talking about. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's the paragraph that has to be rewritten. But can I just ask?
I was up here where it said Peru Town Center. Twitchell
oh no.
Building.
Yeah. No. Wait. Oh, there's a Twitchell.
Yeah.
Oh no. Wait. Oh, Twitchell's still in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Anyway. Can we just read this as homework and then look to vote and sign next time?
Yep.
I mean, I think it's, I didn't see it until I printed it out. I didn't catch that I had missed a couple of things. But if anything jumps out as not working, we can correct it. But does that sound fine, Ben?
Well,
yep. Yeah. Move it. Okay. So this is delay. Put that on. Short item on the 15th. Just an update on the, we voted last time to commit to this special town meeting and the vote. I sent you the notice about it. It had to, tomorrow would be the last day we could post it. So I just took our motion and turned it into an announcement, decided that we were going to offer two additional kinds of taxes. And so I put them in two different articles so we can we'll have two votes that day, but they're both local option tax votes. You know what I mean? So like if, but I figured if there was debate on one, like we can do the thing we said we wanted to do, which is to offer it for a vote. But I thought that making it into two articles would, if you know, if somebody had an issue with sales tax and that took the voters one way, that we would still be able to consider. So yeah. We're not, you know, you can't add anything to the agenda in a setting like that. And you're really not supposed to modify an already warned article. So my thought was just by separating them, it's clean. Like we could vote each one up or down, and that seems like the business we agreed to. The other item three, we're gonna move to next meeting. The road crew discussion. New business. I'll let Harriet, as assistant clerk, tell us why this agenda item ended up here, and kind of what the town is facing, having gone without an assistant clerk for a 9-month stretch.
Okay. I don't actually know where we are with the STRs, which is kind of the problem. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the record keeping. But it's the renewal date is technically today as our deadline, which no one having touched the STR pile in the past 6-7 months.
Oh, it's July is when it stopped.
So there have been no guidelines for how STRs can renew their rental license, which I have big dreams, but the current and manageable dream is I would like to send this form out, which I don't know if Andy has.
Oh, I actually didn't. No, I didn't remember that was supposed to be circulated. If it is.
Well, you guys technically have to approve it.
Yeah, okay.
It says so in the ordinance. I'll make a quick copy. But I'd like to send this out with a vague deadline, because the ordinance explicitly says that the deadline hereafter is April 1st. And there's no language that suggests that can be changed, although if it could be changed, I imagine it gets voted on at a select board meeting. But I just like to send out this form with a really vague, there's no clear deadline for when this renewal is due. And
when would you start going after people for non-payment?
Never, because it's technically not.
Not you, but when...
The town.
The
maybe.
Town. I don't know. What?
Well, can I read? So here's the... This is
section... I don't know what seems like a reasonable grace period. Because I don't want to fault STR operators for a lack of town action.
Yeah.
Well, who owns this? This is the... Who's the person that manages this?
The registration part had been handled by Rhonda as assistant clerk.
Okay.
That's not specified in the ordinance. The only thing we specify for management of the program in the ordinance is the short-term rental officer, and that's Mike Gaeta.
Right, which he doesn't want to do.
Right. Yeah, right. So, but that's that. The officer is... Yeah, the town doesn't really specify how application stuff will be managed.
And is there a fee associated with this?
Yeah, it's $100, which goes out in the letter that goes to, or not the letter, but the email that goes with them.
Got it.
It's $100 thus far is what's written in the ordinance. Technically, that can be changed by the select board at any time that you see fit.
Let's change it to $285,650. Divided by how many rental properties?
And who's going to collect this?
Unknown. Yeah. At least in the 70s.
That's such bullshit. We have more than 70.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But
that's
the
all
thing
that's registered?
That's all that's technically registered, but it's really... I won't get into the details, but the filing is a mess. So I couldn't tell you who is actually registered, who is not registered, but who's been renting.
I'm going to so do that when I retire. Take that over.
Oh,
well,
you
I was
would,
just going to ask
you
if
would,
we
be
so should
good.
Have
yeah.
somebody
oh
that
my God.
Sees this.
I would love that.
All right. We've just developed a Lori Gaeta easy retirement ramp, whatever we call
retiring.
That. So,
you know, maybe it needs to be part of these... Yeah. Maybe it needs to be the same as doesn't our delinquent tax collector get money for?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what this position should be.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say maybe that should be looked into is somebody hire somebody to do this that actually goes out like what you do for Londonderry,
mm-hmm.
and have one here that's paid somehow like maybe through part of the funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't come out of the general fund.
Right.
Well,
I do
that's,
think it's
yeah.
It's so unfair that.
Some people
that
70.
Mike is tasked with this as a volunteer position when it is a paid position in most other towns that
yeah.
have this role.
And yeah.
it's
make
not
it more
an
interesting for
position.
Somebody to do if it
right.
was a paid position.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. That's
okay.
going to be my job.
Well, I think the business tonight is...
Yeah, this is not part of the business.
No. But the question is, can we extend the deadline or do a kind of soft
but
renewal?
But not tell anyone.
Well, you know, we're already recording ourselves, so
right.
if we're going to create a, design a felony, we should have stopped earlier. But the part of the ordinance we're talking about reads, every short-term rental shall be registered by its owner with the, oh, here it is. So registered with the short-term rental officer on or before.
No. You're looking for the thereafter the owner.
That's right. I'm in that paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah. On or before, on or before the later of 90 days after the effective date of this ordinance, or 60 days before the new day of the short term, 60 days before the first day the short term rental is occupied by an occupant as defined by this ordinance. So that part is like the ordinance started and people. We're obliged to register, and nobody should operate an STR
without
being registered. Like they're actually supposed to be registered 2 months before, 60 days before they start. Good luck with that one. But then the part Harriet's working on is thereafter the owner, thereafter meaning renewals, like once registered,
right.
the
yeah.
owner shall register the short-term rental annually no later than April 1st in every calendar year in which the property is occupied as a short-term rental. Registration shall be completed on a form approved by the select board. So,
I worry that I'm committing a crime because it does not explicitly say that there can be a renewal form in the ordinance.
No, I think that's understood.
Okay.
By this is renewal language.
Right.
This more or less states that there will be a registration that follows the original registration.
Right.
I think just the word renewal is not in there,
okay.
but it's
right.
Yeah, but it
implies the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the town dropped the ball by not having somebody in place to allow this to happen in a timely fashion.
Right.
I think. If the fault, as long as an operator with an existing license, like somebody in good standing,
yeah.
isn't penalized for missing today's renewal date, then I don't see why there would be a legal objection. Like the town isn't hassling people. Like it could choose to create a grace period because of some internal staffing issues, right?
What would be a reasonable grace period? 2 months? To come up with a $100 check and deliver a form?
June 1.
Yeah,
I mean, I think...
Is it okay to contradict the ordinance that says April 1st hereafter?
No, I would... I mean, this could go out tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's...
It probably will.
I think it's approved. I actually think it would be practical to make it May 1st. And, like, here's the form, and you have a month to...
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
To, like, I just... Renewals...
Anybody who's doing the rental knows that it was due on April 1st.
Well, yeah. And that's what...
Just you didn't have anybody to enforce it.
I've had people call me, say, like, I owe you $100. Can I send it to you? Is there a form? And I can't...
Yeah.
I can't tell them that there's a meeting where this will be, you know...
Actually, yeah. We just send it out. And look, we just assume that
all the other stuff will happen after.
Yeah, can you not say in the letter that, I mean, can we not say that, you know, our deadline is April 1st and due to, I don't know, whatever, due to change in something, we're giving a 30-day...
Making this more difficult than we need to.
Just
yeah.
put it out.
Then yeah, it's due. Like it's due in 30 days.
We're requesting it
back
in 30 days.
Exactly. Yes. Just, yeah. I don't think anyone's going to come and say... I'm not paying you because it was due April 1st. But yeah, just send it in 30 days.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Well, how about this? I move that we allow the town to issue a renewal form for short-term rentals that is not required of license holders or whatever, STR license holders, any sooner than 30 days after they receive the renewal form. Does that sound like a fair motion?
For 2026, 2027 exclusively?
For this, yeah, for this
for
the licensing year ahead. Thank you. That's a better motion. Should I restate it, or are we...
Say it again?
I move that the town for the next short-term rental licensing year, issue a renewal form that is due no earlier than or no sooner than 30 days after it's sent out by the town office.
Right.
In other words, we're creating a 30-day grace period.
Right.
I second the motion.
All right. Should we vote? Should we discuss?
My only discussion is, can we just get a copy of whatever gets sent with this?
Yeah, I'll do it. It's a draft.
Oh, like the town communication part?
Right, you're going to email this to people or mail it to people.
I'll update based on whether this vote passes. I'll update the date language.
So basically, we're going to add to this that we've kindly requested this is due back to us by June 1st, and you're going to give them
or
these two documents.
May 1st,
but yeah.
We
went
May 1st,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, May 1st. I think that's fair.
Okay.
Seems straightforward.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got a motion, we got a second?
Yeah, I second it.
Should we vote?
Aye.
Aye. All right, it's passed. Harriet, you're free to go to work on that. Thank you for getting it all ready.
Yep.
Can I ask, what is Harriet the de facto STR officer for now?
No. She's just doing the paperwork.
She's just the administrator. She's just the administrator registrar.
Yeah. And can we should ask that you inform our reluctant short-term rental officer this change in one-time grace period.
Yeah.
So, all right. The next item on the agenda is a motion to enter executive session to discuss the appointment of Ben Tuff as representative to Taconic and Green School Board. And just so folks know, Ben Tuff is not here because he had to go work in Kansas this week. And so he arranged to meet virtually with us, and I got approval, very clear message from the League of Cities and Towns about how to use Zoom in an executive session. So we have to move to enter executive session, and once we get there, then we can open a session. Ben, it's weird, like we can't Zoom
can't
in.
Do it
for,
now.
You can't,
do
you gotta
it.
Wait till we're there.
Session,
but,
then you do it.
Yeah, so
well, that's my cue to leave then.
Okay.
I move to
see you later. See ya.
Go to executive session.
Get that.
All right. Thank you. You do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unless you're specifically invited in, and in this case, you're not. So, sorry, kid.
Well, I would have invited you.
All right. Well, we should vote to enter. Wait, did you?
I moved to go to executive session.
I was delighted.
Second.
Okay. A vote on
Aye.
That?
Aye.
All right. So we're moving into executive session. We're going to stop.